You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. Just holiday blessings in general to everyone who enjoys this program. Eddie Pascal and producer Trav back in the Beat Laboratory at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. And before we get into it, I very nearly didn't make it back today. It was a dire situation. I spent the holidays with the fiance up in Seattle, and I was flying back this morning at a very early hour, and I landed here much earlier than anticipated because we had to record this program. I want to respect Trav's time. I want to respect KMM, everyone on this program. I want to respect their time. So I had my flights done in such a way, no problem. I'm going to get here. I'm going to cruise on in, plenty of time to spare, and get to rocking. Well, the good people at Oakland International Airport had other ideas because I landed, my flight from Seattle left late, I landed here.
Attention. Sorry, guys, but there's not a jet. Trav, what's the word called? The jet thing?
Jetway?
The jetway, yes. The jetway, it's not working, so we're going to have to wait a little bit to try to get it fixed.
Fast forward an hour, I'm still sitting there. There's a child next to me. The child is upset. Everyone's upset.
Oh, we're going to move you to a different gate now. Oh.
So an hour and a half later, I finally get off, and because of that, KMM had to step in at the final hour, do a great, tremendous Daryl Worley interview that, in the spirit of full transparency, I haven't listened to yet, but I'm sure it's great. So stay tuned for that. But we have a great show today. We're feeling good. Everyone's festive. It's getting funky here in the lab. Things are percolating. Everyone feels real good because your Oakland Raiders are still alive for the postseason. And we will get to that in just a second. But you guys know where we begin. We begin there every week. It is transaction time. So Santa Claus and his elves are not the only ones that have been busy this week. I feel like I should humiliate and shame myself for that terrible pun. But here we go. In the past couple days since we last spoke, 1221 elevated Raiders legend Lester Cotton Sr. to the 53-man from the practice squad and placed Markell Lee on the reserve injured list once again. And that's just a bummer, man. We really like Markell, really good dude, but just couldn't get healthy in 19. Just could not do it, dealing with a handful of ailments. And unfortunately, the versatile linebacker just couldn't finish out the season in silver and black. But we hope to see him again in 2020 after he's healthy and rocking and rolling. But his 2019, done. Over. Fiend. We have also claimed Jeremiah Valuaga. Apologies to Jeremiah if I butchered his last name. But a defensive end that we claimed via waivers from the Niners. And the corresponding move for that is we placed cornerback Nick Nelson also on the reserved injured list. For those of you who don't remember, Nick City was hurt in the Week 16 win over the Chargers down in Los Angeles. And much like Markell, his season is over. Additionally, to take Lester Cotton Sr.'s spot on the practice squad, we have signed defensive end, and I'm sorry if I'm going to butcher this one as well, Ade Aruna, as well to the practice squad. So your practice squad back at 10 players, your active roster back at 53, and it's a good thing, too, because we are playing for the postseason. Last week, last Sunday, the Raiders handled business down in their second home, Los Angeles, handling Phil Rivers and the San Diego, geez, put a dollar in the jar, the Los Angeles Chargers, 24-17. In a game that, while the score shows that it was pretty close, it never really felt that close to me. Obviously, the Chargers, dynamic offense, Phil Rivers was doing his thing towards the end of the game, but the Raiders hold the Chargers to 19 rushing yards total. Melvin Gordon really not able to do much of anything. Offensively, Derek Carr puts together another pristine performance, 26 of 30, 291 yards, and a tutty. Including a tutty with his feet, his second of the year, which a little birdie told me was his career high. But we got the wide receivers involved, got the tight ends involved, and it really was, and I feel like I should preface this all of this by saying, this was without the services of Josh Jacobs, who was on the shelf dealing with that shoulder injury. More on Josh in just a little bit. But in his absence, D-Wash and Jalen step up in a big, big way. 96 yards between the two of them, 85 for DeAndre and a touchdown. And the offense, while it did have its struggles, we're looking at the offensive line in particular, 3 sacks allowed, definitely not their best version, their best game of 2019. But look, man, we talk about it all the time. The NFL is a war of attrition, and you have to be a deep team. If you want to win games in December and January like this team wants to do, you have to be deep. And unfortunately, as I said, the team surrenders 3 sacks to Derek Carr. Thankfully, those sacks did not come to bite them in the rear end. But definitely, definitely, definitely something that the group will want ironed out as we head into the regular season finale in Denver at, what are we calling it now, Empower Stadium? I don't know. Much like the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego and Anaheim, I don't really know where the Broncos are playing. They're playing at Mile High. That's where they play. Playing at Mile High. Whatever sponsor is associated with their stadium now, God bless you, they're playing at Mile High. But speaking of Week 17 at Mile High, as I said, the Oakland Raiders, by the thinnest of margins, are alive and well in the postseason picture. Holler if you hear me. And if you told me you expected this 2 weeks ago, you, sir or ma'am, are a liar. Because headed into last week, we needed, was it 6 things, Travis, to happen? 5 or 6, something like that? Travis nodding at that. To happen, and they all happened. So we are alive, baby. And week 17 is gonna get funky. I cannot wait. So before we welcome in Daryl Worley to the Beat Laboratory, what exactly has to happen on Sunday for the Raiders to qualify for the AFC playoffs? I did not stutter. We have a legitimate, viable path to the playoffs. Here it is. First things first, you got to win. If you don't take care of business, if you don't fell the mighty Broncos and Drew Lock, none of this matters. So, priority number one, beat the Broncos. If that happens, and the Steelers lose, and the Titans lose, and the Colts win, and we clinch the strength of victory tiebreaker over the Steelers, which is statistically, I'm not a numbers guy, I'm not a nerd, but it's very likely that the Raiders will do that. Because in order to do that, the Raiders only need one of the following teams to win or tie. Those 4 teams, Bears, Lions, Chargers, Patriots. If one of those 4 teams wins on Sunday, the Raiders will then clinch the strength of victory tiebreaker over the Steelers. You pair that with a Raiders win, a Steelers loss, a Titans loss, and a Colts win, and boys, we are going dancing. Get your dancing shoes, because we are probably going back to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. But what a world. What a wild, incredible world. Also, I give the NFL a hard time for a lot of things, but one thing I must give them credit for is all these games now that are in the mix to determine this final AFC wildcard spot are all going to be played at the same time, much like Champions League soccer, really soccer in general, World Cup stuff. When you have these kind of really intricate situations, these weird scenarios, they have all the teams play at the same time to avoid any type of shenanigans or scoreboard watching, things of that nature, right? So we are all rocking at 1:25 Pacific time. So put on your Christmas jammies, get the eggnog. You probably want a little something extra in it on Sunday if you catch my drift. Get a little something, yes, delightful. Get a little of that. Sit down and clock in for 4 hours because it is going to get so weird and I cannot wait. Another thing I can't wait for, because we're going to go on this journey together, hearing this Daryl Worley interview together. The great KMM, countless blessings to him, as I said, for stepping in at the last minute, really rising up, much like the 53-man roster. It's all about depth. You're only as good as your bottom man, and KMM is certainly not our bottom man, but he was the next man up, and he, I think, thrived. Right, Trav? Did you feel good about what he did?
I was very impressed.
Very impressed, as producer Trav. So, without any further ado, let's buckle up and go on this journey together. The great Daryl Worley, sponsored and brought to you by Kyle Martin Media.
Now walk us through this past win over the Chargers. What was, you know, it's always a weird atmosphere down there in LA, right? You know, it's a Chargers home game, but it never really feels like one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There was definitely a lot of black out there. And, I mean, that says monuments to the Raider Nation and everything that's going on and how they support us and travel and just how widespread the fan base is. And it was great.
Yeah, and I mean, after, you know, obviously you guys wanted to get the win at the Coliseum, but when you go down to L.A. and it still almost feels like a home game, it's almost kind of like a redemption scenario, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew that just being in conference, that situation, a team, you know, that's always a win that you want to get. And being able to go 2-0 against the Chargers this year was definitely pivotal.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to ask you, too, because it's well-documented. How much trash does Phil Rivers talk? Does he talk to you at all? What do you say back to him?
It's not many guys that talk trash to me on the field, honestly, since I've been in the league. Because, I mean, I don't really talk at all. So it's like it would really be one-sided. So it wouldn't even be like a back and forth. So I haven't really dealt with it.
Sure. You know, a bit of an interesting game for you, though, this past weekend, right? I mean, you've obviously played cornerback extremely well this season, but the coaching staff has hinted at moving you around and using you as a versatile role player. What was it like getting that start at safety this past week? And, you know, what was your preparation like going into it?
It was a lot more preparation as far as film study and stuff, just because just having to see the game from a different point of view. And, I mean, that's always a game changer. So, I mean, that first drive, it kind of started off kind of fast. But at the end of the day, as long as you're knowing your job and everything, I always tell guys that I feel as though on defense, every other position is easier than corner. And some guys may understand where I come from when I say that. Some guys may not.
Was that how much experience do you have at safety prior to playing there?
I haven't played safety since high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's been a while, clearly. But yeah. What did you enjoy it when you were in high school? Did you like playing safety, or even then you're like, I would rather be a cornerback?
Oh yeah, for sure. In high school, I mean, I felt the same way. It was easier than playing corner. I mean, you're always able to just have your eyes on the quarterback, make more plays on the ball. So when you got depth like that, you're not really worried about within these first 5 yards, I got to dominate this player in front of me.
And we've heard a little bit about your note studying or your note taking and how much time and effort you put into, you know, you're meticulous with your craft, right? Mm-hmm. Did you have to go above and beyond this past week, like you said, in the film study room, in order to get in the mind space that you needed to? Or since it's a little bit easier than corner, you're kind of able to simplify it a little bit more?
No, the note-taking, I kind of went about it the same way. The only thing that I did a lot more of was watching film. And, I mean, you when you're watching film, you get a lot of different camera angles. So it's different from watching it from that box view than it is from having to watch it from that end zone view, where you're able to see the quarterback and see him go through his progressions, which is something you don't really necessarily go through at corner.
Sure. I feel like as a safety, you obviously get to focus a little bit more on the quarterback's eyes, right? You're getting to read what he's seeing more. You're watching him go through his progressions. Is that a drastic change from a corner? Because at corner, you're obviously focused on the receiver. You don't want to lose him. But imagine a lot of the time you're also tracking him too. So what's the balance like, where do you allow yourself more freedom back there as a safety to just scan for more receivers?
Or? Definitely, for sure. I feel like when it comes to like eye discipline and things like that, it can be a little bit looser at safety, just simply because you have a little bit more time. There's not a guy straight right there in your face every second. I mean, you have sometimes 10 to 12 yards of ground that a guy has to make up before he's actually like quote unquote on top of you and into his route. So things like that, you can peek at the quarterback a little bit more and still be able to be in position.
I've got a weird question for you. This came to me. So when you're playing cornerback and you're at the line, man, right, has a receiver ever tried to get the upper hand on you by pulling on your beard at all?
No. So if you haven't noticed, on game day, I wear the mask.
Yep.
So the mask is it used to be just a thing that I did when I started my second year in the league. I mean, I just used to do it, but now it actually just hides my beard away. Because I mean, that would be real problematic if someone grabbed my beard.
There was a time though where you were just going chin strap over the beard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was a lot shorter though.
I've always wondered that too, because you know, if a guy has, or if a running back has dreads, or you know, obviously your beard, I imagine there are people in the league that would try.
Oh, for sure.
To, I mean, pull on it.
There's people everywhere that would do stuff like that, sometimes it'd be just to get in your head, but I don't even allow it. I cancel that whole problem out.
Yeah, and you don't let it faze you.
Not at all.
I respect that. You know, Coach Gruden has said in his offense that he wants all of his receivers to learn the XYZ every position, right? They want the whole route tree. when you're a cornerback, you're just focused. You know, I'm sure you have your assignments and what you need to know, but when you transition to safety, are you learning every other position also, or is that just something you're constantly aware of even when you were at cornerback?
When I was at cornerback, it was just something I was always constantly aware of. And I mean, it's just, it goes all the way back to OTAs and training camp and things like that. I mean, you install things so many times that it's like, once you feel like you've mastered your position mentally, you can begin to look at the other positions and be like, okay, yeah, they would do this. Da-da-da. So, I mean, coming into the season, it was more of a, I was mentally prepared to be able to do anything that was asked of me at any position on the field.
Right on. And this week, heading into Denver, do you know, are you aware of what your role is going to be again in this week? Because you played like four or five different positions last week because you're...
It's not defined yet this week. I mean, I usually find out kind of on Saturdays when we're going into those night meetings, really figuring out exactly what position I need to hone in on. And it's more of a mentality thing for me when I'm switching from safety to corner or nickel or whatever other position there is.
Have you been able to communicate a little bit? I mean, obviously you guys are on the same side of the ball, but what's your relationship with LaMarcus been like? Obviously he kind of thrives in the nickel spot. So just the information that you're able to share back and forth and communicate, how has that helped you or benefited you last week?
Oh, LJ, he's great. I mean, he's a guy that you don't have to worry about being out there. All you have to do is really just get him the call, and he'll have his responsibility basically shut down. So, I mean, just knowing that if I ever have to step in for him, it's just more of knowing the style of player that I am. We may not necessarily do things the exact same way, but we're both getting the job done.
Absolutely. It's kind of wild to think that you guys are still in the playoff hunt, right? Given all the circumstances that have led to this point. But here you are, 7-8. You still got a shot. Entering this game with the Broncos, how much emphasis do you guys have to even put on? Obviously, there's a lot of things that have to go right in order for you to get in the wild card. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it all starts with winning that game. So since you know what it is, do you really have to go deeper than that?
No, I don't feel like you should. No, I don't feel like anyone should overhype this or make it into something that's not. I feel like the biggest thing and my message to anyone that was to ask me is, let's just do our part in this. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we could win and then those other four teams would lose. But as long as we did our part, we could just be satisfied with that. I mean, at the end of the day, we need a lot of things to work out in our favor for it to happen. I mean, which is something that we're going to hope for, we're going to pray for. But at the end of the day, as long as we show up on Sunday, we handle our part, we'll come out with our heads held high regardless.
And I know it's not your intention, but I imagine it'd be hard not to scoreboard watch a little bit during the game, right? I mean, at Mile High, they've got the Texans and the Titans game on, and you see it in the corner of your eye, you might be a little bit curious to know what's going on, right?
I mean, I honestly, I don't even know exactly what is four or five other games that is that we need. So I wouldn't even know what I was looking for anyway.
Oh, well, there you go.
It would be something when I got back to my phone after the game that someone would have to tell me.
I know we feel this way up here in the studio a little bit, but do you guys feel like with everything that's happened this year, this season has felt extremely long?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like it feels like the beginning of the year when we went to London. It's just like the beginning of 2019, I mean, not even the season. It's just like it seemed like it was so long ago, but really so short at the same time. I mean, as a player, when you know it's like coming to the end of the season, I mean, you look back upon it, you're like, geez, we were just such and such doing this. And it's like, all right, now we're here. And I mean, really, the season is wrapping up unless the dice roll our way. And really, I mean, it's another season going.
Yeah, to that point, you know, obviously the hope is to get in the wild card and go from there. But if it doesn't happen, unfortunately, like, how would you assess this season? I don't want to get you out of the right mindset. You know, I'd want you to be focused on winning, obviously. But just in like the season in review, how do you feel like you guys have grown this year through the bumps and the hurdles?
I think this season really showed it kind of defined what the Raiders are and what's being built as an organization. I mean, all the hurdles we had to jump over. I mean, from losing guys to not having guys, and just it was just a big roller coaster, and being able to fight through, and I mean, really to be able to finish with a 500 record, finish the regular season with a 500 record. I mean, it really says something about the character from the top down. I mean, from the front offices through the coaches and to the players. It really speaks. It speaks. I mean, mountains about of what's really going on and what's really being built around here.
There you have it, Raider Nation. Daryl Worley, thank you so much for stopping in, man. As always, you're always a wonderful guest on the program, and we appreciate you. So,
no problem.
Good luck this weekend, and try not to scoreboard watch too much, man.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff, KMM. Powerful stuff, feeling good. Blessings to Daryl for giving us a few minutes on his holiday time. And big shout out to my guy Kyle, man. Doing good work, doing God's work. Feeling good, feeling strong. Like I said, next man up, what's the word I'm looking for, Travis? Not qualifies, but it applies to all aspects of life, whether it's a football team, your work, whatever it is. Next man up, KMM, crushed it. So we welcome him back. He left for a handful of minutes, but he has returned because it's victory formation as we finish off this holiday edition of Upon Further Review. And producer Trav, were our sponsors, were they feeling the holiday spirit? Were they feeling the giving of this season?
They were not.
We couldn't even get the Grinch to sponsor the segment.
Nope.
We couldn't
Grinch,
get anything.
No people from Whoville. Nothing.
So we're gonna likely finish 19 sponsorless, huh? Because the next time we come into the lab, well, I see we might have one more episode on Monday, depending on how things shake out. But the odds are we're gonna finish 2019 with zero sponsorship dollars. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. So Freddy Pascal, producer Trav, we welcome in our senior esports correspondent, our junior draft analyst, our resident expert on all things Southern California. I'm sure we'll discuss his Lakers at some point today and what they did last night. But KMM, come on down. How you feeling, brother?
I'm a sleepy boy. It's the holidays. We're running on fumes, but we're riding, baby.
Booby is a sleepy boy.
Yeah. I think we all are, though. You just descended from the skies.
I did, and I'm going to hit about 8 o'clock tonight and crash.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Wish we didn't have to come back tomorrow and do it all over again, but c'est la vie.
Hey, when you're trying to win a championship, there's no days off.
No days off.
No days off. KMM, for our last time of 2019, can you bless us with the boring game of the week? Although we did discuss doing a boring game of the year. Is that still on the docket?
Yeah. Well, that'll be after all the games have happened, because then we'll be able to look back and be like, oh, wow, that actually wasn't a boring game, and this was. So okay. We got one more week of fun, and then we'll really get down to the nitty-gritty with the bracket.
Yep.
And break down the boring games.
We should, before you get into this one, we should figure out how to make this interactive in some way. Maybe you draw, you're a very good artiste. Maybe you draw out a bracket, tweet that out, something.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's all about the engagement.
Craft something on the Photoshop, maybe,
yep.
Too.
Yep. Hit me, though.
This week, it's all division matchups. So I'm going to go ahead and eliminate a few. The Steelers-Ravens, that's interesting for obvious reasons. We need a certain outcome in that game for the Steelers to lose.
Yep.
Titans-Texans, need the Titans to lose, but that'll be a good matchup, I'm sure. Truthfully, there are two matchups that really don't zing me. And guess what? They're both NFC East matchups.
Oh, not surprising.
The Eagles versus the Giants and the Cowboys versus the Redskins. And you know what? I'm going to say the boring game of the week this week is Redskins-Cowboys.
Ooh.
Because the Cowboys have looked awful.
How different does their 7-8 feel than our
7-8? Oh, cataclysmic.
Our 7-8 feels like we're playing with cash money, baby.
Yeah, house money. We're rolling the dice. We're going to go. We're going to play. They are in disarray. They are just spiraling out of control. They might not have a head coach in 4 days.
That's a scary reality to live in.
Yeah.
So, KMM, can you just announce it once again so Trav can put the applause behind it?
Yes. Congratulations to our Week 17 boring game of the week, the Washington Redskins featuring Donald Penn, and the Dallas Cowboys featuring Amari Cooper, two former Raiders.
Raiders
head-to-head. Just doing nothing.
Incredible. By the grace of the Almighty, or whatever higher power you believe in, we're alive. We are hanging on by a thread, but we are alive. So I ask you this, KMM. We went over the scenarios earlier of what we need to do to make the postseason. And I'm curious, which of the games on Sunday that we need to have go in our way are you the most worried about?
Our game.
Oh, okay.
I'm most worried about our game because it's easy to lose focus and put all the emphasis on the other teams winning. But Imagine there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching at Mile High on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be doing it.
And the Broncos haven't been bad, man. They're not the same team that we saw week one. And Drew Lock, as much as I have my opinions about the man, he's been playing well. They're 3-1. Cortland Sutton is a 1,000-yard receiver. They're not bad, man. They're not bad. I'm worried that we you know, just maybe come out a little flat-footed, and then second half it's too late. I want to see the urgency immediately. Because nothing else matters if you don't win on Sunday.
Sure. I will admit, that was a pretty boring coach answer from you.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
What were you expecting?
I was expecting a little spice. I was expecting you to take a shot at someone. And all you come down and say, well, I'm worried about our game. You can control what you can control, right, Travis? I'm not worried about the other games. I'm worried about us.
That, you know what? That's fair. That, you got me. You got me there. So, our game aside.
Yeah.
Our game aside, the one that concerns me the most, the Titans versus the Texans.
Mm.
I feel like with the Texans this year, you never know what team is going to come out of the locker room. There's going to be a team that comes out and smacks the Patriots, or there's going to be a team that comes out and gets destroyed by the Colts. You never know.
Yeah.
The Texans have been hot and cold this year, and the Titans this week are getting Derrick Henry back, who was absent last week against the Saints.
What was he doing? He's on vacation?
He's got a hammy issue.
Oh, yeah. The game that concerns me the most, KM, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it, is this Baltimore-Pittsburgh
tilt.
Oh,
that is fair.
And why I'm worried about that one, well, you know why. Because Lamar ain't playing.
He's not. Several of their key players aren't playing, including Earl Thomas.
Oh, boy.
But the positive is that the Steelers have Duck Hodges under center.
A Raiders legend. He's not. I just like saying that.
Who, third-string quarterback.
And their whole situation under center has been a funky one as of late, because it was obviously when Big Ben goes down, then it's Mason, and then Mason is yanked, and then Duck goes in, but then Duck gets yanked, so they put Rudolph back. It's just been an up and down all around kind of situation for them.
Yeah, and James Conner's banged up, so their offense, knock on wood, we're gonna talk all this trash, and then they're gonna go. See, this is why I don't like doing things like this, because anytime you're watching the Warriors, or like,
who had a huge win yesterday.
They had a huge win. Congratulations. Or the Giants. Anytime a team is doing well, they're outperforming against their opponent or whatever, the broadcast always has the nerve to throw out some stat like, oh, anytime a team is up 17 points with one quarter to go, they're 97-2. And then that team goes on to lose.
And then they're 97-3.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always something like that. So we're going to be sitting here saying, oh, the Steelers' offense hasn't been that great because they have a third-string quarterback and a banged-up running back. And then they're going to go out there and trample the Ravens for 45 points. It's something stupid. I get superstitious with stuff like this because it's all luck-based right now, aside from the fact that we can control our own game.
Well, I suppose that's fair. Kind of nerdy, but fair, I suppose. How was your Christmas, KM? Was it okay?
It was fine. It was delicious. I'll be positive. It was delicious. Had some crab.
Ooh.
Had some brisket, some green beans.
Before I forget, I don't mean to cut you off. An associate of my fiance's yesterday came over for a little bit and then went back to her parents' house for Christmas, and they had a blackened cod.
Mm.
And I know you're familiar with that world.
Yeah, I'm a big seafood man.
Yeah.
Love a nice blackened, seasoned Cajun fish. All for it. A little zest to it. Everybody goes with the traditional lemon butter, you know, a little rosemary on the fish. Now, give me some pow. Some bang.
Bang.
Yeah. That's where we throw in the Mike Breen call. Bang! Yeah, I need more of that.
Speaking of Mike Breen, he did an excellent job on the call last night, I thought.
Yeah, he always does, man. He's an exceptional sports commentator.
Mike Breen, if you want to come on the podcast, this is your formal invitation.
Yeah, we'll kiss the ring.
Yeah, oh, yeah, most certainly. Mike Breen, beautiful hair, too. That all-white hair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just gorgeous.
Outstanding. Speaking of basketball, though, and Christmas festivities, Eddie, though, I got in a verbal spat with one of my significant other's family members yesterday. Because, as everybody who listens to this podcast knows, I'm a well-documented diehard Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Not because LeBron, for years.
Yeah.
My entire life, I've bled purple and gold, okay? And nothing infuriates me more than the Celtics and the Clippers. Can't stand them.
Perhaps most notably, Steve Ballmer, though.
Oh, yes, the court jester. Because that man is a joke. But nothing infuriates me quite like someone who's not from Boston that's a Celtics fan. Why? Anywho, this gentleman, one of my significant other's family members.
Can we say his name? He doesn't listen to this podcast.
No,
he's got a great name.
Of course not. Tanner. Good old Tanner with the earrings and the ripped jeans. Good old Tan Man. He overheard me saying that I'm a Lakers fan. That upset him, and he revealed that he was a Celtics fan. So I was feeling good. I took the opportunity to, you know, dig a little deeper.
Sure.
And I tried to put in perspective that the Celtics in the last 30 years have won just as many championships as jokes of franchises like the Dallas Mavericks and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Sure, sure.
His response, how many have the Lakers won? I wanted the silence
put
to
the,
sit
put the crickets in, Trav. Yeah. Put the crickets in.
I repeat, how many have the Lakers won in the last 30 years? Well, Tan, 5 in my lifetime.
And you're a young man.
25 years old.
Well, maybe you're not a young man, but.
Spry.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a comeback for that because obviously 5 championships in 25 years is a lot better than 1 championship in 30 years.
That's just simple math.
Yeah. I'm not a number cruncher, but that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I would agree.
And, yeah, I continued to take several shots of this gentleman, and, you know, he sat across from me at dinner. I learned a few more things about his life that I won't humiliate him at a further expense, but it rubbed me the wrong way, man. And then the nerve, post-game, after the Lakers were defeated by the joke that is the Dippers and Steve Ballmer, the court jester, his brother Todd decided that he was going to come up to me without saying a word all evening and go, bet you got a, wish you didn't get a little ahead of yourself with the old Laker game there, huh? Todd, go home. Who are you, Todd? Why are you giving me a hard time? Huh? I'll see you in June, if the Celtics make it that far. Clowns, bro.
I'm sorry to deal with that adversity. Travis, did you have any family adversity to deal with yesterday?
No, mine was great. But, also lots of food. So I'll get back on the food topic.
Yeah. What'd you have? I know we got to get off of Tanner. Kyle's getting all hot and bothered over here.
I know. This is the third time today I've heard this story.
The nostrils. He's like a bull.
Yeah. Well, last night we had prime rib, which was, God, it was so good. But you know, like the piece was,
thick,
very thick.
Three C's on that thick.
Yeah. So I couldn't even finish like one of those pieces. But then night before Christmas Eve we had ham and turkey.
Oh,
so I hit everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
It's funny you bring that up because I was just asked yesterday at the Christmas party that I was at, do I prefer turkey or ham as a holiday dish? And I said turkey over ham.
I would agree. My family usually goes ham. It's like Easter and Christmas are the only time of the year I will eat ham, and it's because of holidays, I guess.
I don't.
Who decided that ham was the holiday go-to?
Maybe it was like an accessibility thing back in the day. You know, like maybe it's like a time, an era kind of deal where more people were just eating ham as opposed to tri-tip. And
let me ask you this.
Well, I guess if you go back to like, you know, when we were rationing stuff for World War II, beef probably wasn't as available.
Yeah.
Speaking of rationing, because what a segue that is. The fiancé's grandfather was at the holiday festivities. Blessings to Peter Paw, a true legend. I love this guy. We had very similar outfits on. We took a picture together. It was lovely. He's a good man.
You're at heart an 87-year-old man.
Listen, man. I was wearing a real nice sweater and some real slim-cut trousers. All right?
That another word an old man would say, trousers.
Listen. Don't hate on Peter Paw because he's got a good style. You leave him out of this.
Sure, continue.
But anyways, we were talking about his time growing up during the First World War, and he was saying
the First World War,
the First World War, or Second World War. Which one, Trav?
World War II.
He's probably more likely growing up during the Second World War.
Yeah.
How old would he be if he was in the First World War?
100.
Yeah. No, he's not that old. Yeah. He's still very much with it. Probably the Second World War, but he's from Berkeley, And he was telling me that during his childhood, he has such a vivid memory of rations, and that he would go to the store with his mom, because we were talking about the ham and turkey type stuff, and he was saying that the way that they did it was the U.S. government would send you essentially a coupon book, and you could get, you know, 1 pound per coupon, or, you know, something like that. And he said he remembered going with his mom to the grocery store and tearing out a coupon and getting his one small ham or small turkey.
Loaf of bread.
Yeah. But the one thing he told me that I had no idea this even existed, he said that there was no butter, and so they used excuse me,
the oil.
So they used margarine. But for whatever reason, the margarine is not the color of butter. And so he said that, and I can't imagine this is healthy or up to code anymore, but he said there was a little dye packet that they put in the middle of the stick of margarine. And so you got the margarine, and when you opened it up, it was a white or a cream base color, not the yellow that we know and love. So him and his brothers, and it was like a rock hard frozen type of thing. And so his mom would say, "All right, fellas, go throw this around in the backyard." And so they would play with it, hence warming it up. And when they caught it, it would eventually break the dye, and then the dye would make it yellow.
What an interesting story.
Yeah, that is something I was not expecting.
Yeah, man. You get it all in this podcast. Shots at the NFL.
Some history.
Some history. Some geography lessons. You get it all. We got to get out of here. It's time to go home. The Raiders are going to win on Sunday, KMM, if...
force Drew Lock to make some mistakes. He'll probably make a few of his own. But force a couple more. Cleveland Furl, Max Crosby, I'm talking to you, boys. Get in that kid's face, make him feel uneasy, and let him know that playing against the Raiders in the future is not going to be fun. That
beautiful.
Is all.
Beautiful, yeah. And Kyle actually just walked up and he got it. He walked out of the beat lab. He's done enough for the day.
Done.
Trav Amaya.
I got to have my guys, D-Wash and Jalen.
Yep.
We need more. You know, just keep running the ball.
Pound the rock. Love it.
It's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold. Mine, kind of similar to what you guys did, but not really. I want the wide receivers to stay involved. Last week, we saw the receivers as a collective feast. I'm looking at you, Hunter Renfro. I'm looking at you, Zay Jones. I'm looking at you, Tyrell. And we saw how dynamic this offense can be when all the playmakers get involved. And so often throughout 2019, it's been just the Darren Waller show. And it's a great show. Listen, I'll go pay full price to that show 6 or 7 times a year. But we need to get more involved from the wide receiving core. We saw it Sunday. If they can keep it going, as Travis said, in the likely very cold weather of Denver, I like the Raiders' chances. I really do. And then from there, who knows? Who knows what will happen? I sure don't, but it is going to be a lot of fun. So we're out of here. Today is Thursday. We travel on Saturday, correct, Trav? Trav is nodding yes. We are out of here on Saturday. KMM is joining us. He's left the lab, but he will be there. Don't worry. So that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. We're going to enjoy some semblance of a holiday, but not really, because we'll be back bright and early tomorrow. So, for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, Daryl Worley, engineer Jim, and everyone else who gets us from A to Z from week to week, we appreciate you, we thank you, we humbly bless you for another week. So, as I said, let's get super funky Sunday afternoon. Let's get weird, mess around, and end up in the postseason. We will see you guys next week. Time, date, TBD, depending on what happens on Sunday afternoon. But regardless of a win, loss, a draw, we will be back next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.